When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to eighth time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. My name is Sean Pendergast. His name is Seth Payne. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
You nervously pounded the table when you said 10 a.m. Like, oh, that's gonna get out of here at some point.
It's
just settle in for a bit.
Coming off a day where we're only in for 2 hours on Monday, so I got to get my mind right.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's a 4 hour show today.
At least you're probably all juiced up from those high profile games last night, right?
Dude.
You're probably like, oh man, how do you come off that high?
This is an example of just how strong the brand is. You've brought this up before where I've talked about, like, I don't know, the NFL, you know, they're probably going to be pretty angry that these two backup quarterbacks are facing each other. And as you point out to me, despite the fact that I read tweets that say how good the ratings are on every game that the NFL puts out there, you point out to me, like, well, the NFL is kind of an unstoppable machine. And I was, like, just generically excited last night. I'm like, ooh, two NFL football games. It's a doubleheader.
Yeah.
And then I turn it on and it's 9-3 at the half with Cousins versus, who are they playing, the Raiders?
Versus, who are they playing?
Yeah, no, that's what I had to think about it.
Yeah.
And then you got Darnold whooping up on the number one overall pick in the draft over on the other channel.
And the Bears are like, whatever. I don't know. The Bears are making a fourth quarter stab at a comeback. But
where they?
Like,
I was
gonna,
in bed long
this
before
this isn't
going
to happen. All right, whatever.
You're a better man than I am.
No, I'm not saying that it can last that way forever. But like right now, We're in some weird period where nobody knows who the good quarterbacks actually are. The uniforms, they've gone a little too far with the alternate uniforms. I like being able to look at the screen and immediately know who's playing.
Who's playing the game?
Yeah, there's a part of me, maybe I'm a grumpy old man. I don't like it when I don't immediately know who's playing based on the uniforms.
That's fair. It's funny you bring up the quarterback thing because I thought about this last night as I'm flipping back and forth between these two just dog crap pile games that were on TV.
John Kennard looked good.
And I'm watching and I'm going, okay, we've been subjected to way too much Caleb Williams this year.
Right, yeah.
Way too much. And I went and looked at the Bears' schedule, and they played, of course, they played a nationally televised game here in Houston in week two. Remember, that was C.J. Stroud versus Caleb Williams, and it turned out to be a defensive game. They got a London game in week six. They've gotten a couple, like, of those late window 425 games, mm-hmm. you know, that are that are they're not prime time, but they're generally if you're a Central or East Coast team and you're playing in the 4:25 Eastern time slot, that's thought to be a sexy game. They've gotten a couple of those. They had a Thanksgiving Day game against the Lions. Remember that game? That Matt Eberflus screwed up and got himself fired. Last night's game, we still get them one more time in prime time the day after Christmas. That's a lot of Caleb Williams on
there's
a big another, stage.
Oh, because there's Thursday night football.
Thursday night football,
there's
man.
There's so much football right now. Is there football every day?
It's there. We're in some sort of stretch. I went and looked it up before the season. With the new college football playoffs starting on Friday, other than, I think, Christmas Eve, there is high-level college football or NFL end-of-the-season type football.
Yeah.
Like, every day through, like, New Year's.
Yeah.
You know, from, like, the 20th to New Year's.
Right.
It is just a feast.
I did, and I'm going to tell you this, Sean. You know, I struggle sometimes with getting overwhelmed with too much information. And, man, I am there. Yesterday, I was having a rough day. There's just so much going on.
Yeah.
And everything's just so different. It's just the college football system is so wild, wild west and out of whack, and you don't know exactly how everything works. I don't even want to get into like trying to keep track of the kids who have played 7 years of college football.
Oh, dude.
Spencer Rattler out. I have to constantly be reminded whether or not Spencer Rattler is a rookie. It feels like 3 decades ago he was about to be the number one overall pick in
Remember
the draft
that?
Going into his what I thought was his junior season.
No.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's wild, man. Yeah, some dude who's like in his 6th or 7th year declared for the draft yesterday. And I'm like, what? You don't need to declare anymore, dude. Like,
and then even last night watching Kirk Cousins.
You only need to declare if you're 3 years in, brother, not seven.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. So, but as far as playoff scenarios and everything, I feel like that's what I started funneling it down to. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just going to focus on the Texans, AFC South, what can happen, and what do we need to pay attention
we'll
to?
We'll go through the scenarios in the next segment. You brought up a good question because now we're the Texans are in the playoffs. In case you haven't heard, AFC South champs, Brian, 2 years in a row. Doesn't matter how it looked, Brian. Okay. Doesn't matter that there's 140 yards of offense plus a fake punt.
Doesn't matter what it looked like.
It's true. It doesn't matter what it looked like. They're 9-5 and they're AFC South champs. We can start to hone in a little bit on who they might play in that home game to start things off.
Yeah.
And because there's like a 43% chance they're playing the Ravens in the first round.
I had tweeted out, Texans fans, who would you prefer to see in the wild card round at home, the Steelers or the Ravens? I would say 90-95% of the responses said Steelers because they're a better matchup, probably. But then the one line of thinking that I really like is, hey, it depends on what your goals are. If your goal is to win a wild card game, sure, get the Steelers at home. If your goal is to go to the Super Bowl, get the Ravens at home.
You're going to have to go through them eventually anyways.
Right. Wouldn't you rather face the Ravens at home, where you have a pass rush that really benefits from the crowd noise, where the offensive line tends to play better. Not great, but better than they do on the road. And yeah, if your goal is to advance as far as possible into the playoffs, then give me all that smoke at home in the wild card.
Well, the defense hasn't played a bad game at home yet this year.
Yeah.
You know, they've played
and they brought out the absolute worst version of a lot of quarterbacks.
Correct.
Like Jared Goff, I think most specifically. Okay, this guy's just it was the worst game of the year for him.
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's going to be
that guy.
Josh Allen is going to be the MVP of the league.
Yeah.
And he set a record for futility against the Now, granted, it's a different version of the Bills
right
now than was in Week 5. That's how the NFL season goes. But it's still Josh Allen. And they held him into 9 for 30 in that game. So, yeah, my gut reaction, I always think like in a vacuum of just winning that game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, definitely Steelers. But you're absolutely right. Like, if you're having a long-term view of this thing, if it's all about the mix of the 4 games it takes to win a championship, the chances are you're going to have to go through if the Ravens win that division, chances are you're going to have to go through them anyways. So, yeah, get them at home. I like that. I like that mentality.
We had said, is one of the keys to the victory before last week's game, that the decibel meter had to be consistently above 110 decibels. And it was.
Was it?
I was watching down there.
You looked at the analytics?
Yeah. You know, I was surprised. The decibels weren't as high when it was down in the north end zone there.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing probably I don't know where the monitor in the stadium is,
okay.
But also I'm guessing when it's down in the end zone, I've got the people in the other end zone.
Oh, you were looking up at the little dealio on the jumbotron.
Yeah, I was monitoring it.
Yeah, I got
it. I don't know if that thing's accurate or not.
Were you surprised how many Dolphin fans made it to town?
No, not really.
They travel pretty well?
Yeah, okay. I was. Well, they all stick out, though, too, because of the teal.
That's true.
So I don't know.
They don't blend in. There were a lot of them, man. They were pretty well represented that game. So,
I don't think any of them actually liked Tua.
So you not anymore.
I tried to troll a little bit, as people are walking in past our stage for the pregame show, and I didn't even get any. I kind of just got some. I got like polite laughs.
Oh, did you?
Some of the digs I was taking.
Tua.
I almost fought a Cowboys fan though.
I know. I saw you gesturing with somebody over there. I'm like, wow, Seth's animated. You were down there amongst the people more than you normally are.
Yeah, and one of our
especially
listeners,
especially during a hot morning like it was on Sunday.
One of our listeners, and I'm blanking on his name, I apologize if you're listening right now, but he had a friend with him who was a Cowboys fan who just like walked into, I was talking to a bunch of our listeners, and this guy walks in and I could tell this was vodka assisted. It was pretty strong on his breath.
That's impressive.
Yeah,
10:30 in the morning.
But he just started shouting about how awesome the Cowboys are, and I just kind of had to set the record straight. It was weird. I mean, this is one of those bellicose Cowboys fans that wasn't even aware of how bad his team has been for the last 2 decades. Yeah. So it was pretty easy to put him down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I was fine. I wasn't going to fight him. But he started to look pretty agitated when I started hitting him with the truth.
I just looked over and saw you doing a lot of motioning. You were doing a lot of like arm and hand talking and stuff. And I'm like, oh, Seth's making a point over there right now.
I was demanding that he produce Larry Allen for me to talk to Larry Allen. Because
Eric Williams.
There's a cowboy I respect.
That's true.
And there's actually knows what he's talking about when you're I just want to show him how old Larry Allen is by now.
Nate Newton.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone's pointing out on the text page, last year we played the Browns on Christmas and then the Browns in the wild. It was Christmas Eve, but whatever. On Christmas, then the Browns in the wild card. That is something, similar to last year. If you're trying to answer that, who would you rather play in the wild card round if you're the Texans? Because whoever it is, you're going to get them at home, the Ravens or the Steelers. You're going to get kind of like this Browns thing last year. Well, the Browns game in the regular season, you were trotting out Case Keenum and Davis Mills in some sort of two-headed quarterback thing. You didn't have C.J. Stroud in that game, and they got blown out. And you weren't
and
letting
the
Derek,
defense was banged
you weren't
up.
Letting Derek Stingley follow Amari Cooper around. Amari Cooper went literally for 260 yards in that game.
That was our big reveal in the playoffs.
That's right. That's right. So similarly, though, you are going to get, like, if we're trying to answer this question, it's this big mystery. Oh, yeah, that's right. They play the Ravens at home on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So we will kind of get some answers, assuming health, to that question.
And that's what a lot of the people responding to that question also said. Well, I'll answer this after the Christmas
Day game.
December
26th.
Yeah, ask
me then. I will give
you
an answer, yeah.
I mean, there is just that. So the Ravens defense isn't as good as they typically are, but they can shut down the run pretty well. But it doesn't feel like, you don't feel like, the Texans can exploit the Ravens pass defense.
Right.
You certainly don't feel that way. But I think, if all you want to do is win one game, then Russell Wilson in Houston is probably going to be a pretty low scoring affair for the Steelers. I like that long term approach of, man, if you're going to make a run, give me the hardest matchup at home when I've got some control over it.
The Steelers, if this were last year, D'Amico's first year, and you're just shocked that they're winning the division, then the Steelers would be the right answer last year, because I would be like, well, they're probably not winning the Super Bowl this year. But this is a Super Bowl caliber defense. This is a defense that can go on the road and beat good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And if your offense doesn't screw up, I can't believe we're saying this about the offense we hoped we were getting this year, and an offense with C.J. Stroud at quarterback. But the solution, as you pointed out yesterday, the solution, if they're going to make a deep run, the solution is probably going to be elite level defense, and then CJ just game manage here.
And I think
behind that offensive line.
And I hesitate to say elite defense because the Texans defense, as good as they've been in a lot of regards, they're still not a genuinely elite defense because they're too soft in the red zone and they allow too many chunk plays.
Yep.
So over the course of the season, I look back to the Lovie Smith Super Bowl team where It was a really good defense, but the biggest thing was that they took the ball away a lot. They created a lot of takeaways. And Dick Turan's team before that, that had a good run, they were similar. They weren't an awesome defense, but they were very opportunistic. It's got to look something like that.
Yeah.
And so your best opportunity to get that versus the Ravens is here at home.
So let's go through scenarios for the Texans. Let's get you guys up to speed. What needs to happen over the next few weeks? Are they stuck in the four seed? or is a chance that they could climb a little bit here in the in what's going to be a really tough AFC. We'll take you through the scenarios. We get you educated. You can walk in and educate all your coworkers on this. We'll help you out with that.
That's school them up.
Coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Texans have clinched at least the four seed in the AFC. They will get a home game to open the playoffs against whom we don't know. That'll play out over the next few weeks. They could improve their spot in the AFC. We'll go through the chances of that happening, what would need to happen here in as simple and radio-friendly and driving into work-friendly a way as possible. But here,
hypothetically, say it in a way that maybe Seth would understand.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good litmus test.
I'm going to pretend that I'm not 100% dialed in on all the different permutations.
There you go.
Yeah, pretend.
I guess the good news for simplicity's sake.
Thanks a lot, Sean.
Yeah.
You jerk.
The good news is there's almost no chance that they are going to be the number one or the number two seed.
Yeah, I was afraid that I was going to have to worry about that scenario.
Zero. Literally, I'm seeing on all the sites that there's a 0%. Even though they play the Chiefs head to head, and they are it's a 0% chance. The Chiefs have one loss. The Texans have four or five. So there's no chance. Less than 1% chance they get the two seed because that's Buffalo right now, and they're a couple games ahead of the Texans, and they've got a really easy schedule the rest of the way. Before we get into the scenarios, here is D'Amico Ryans on possibly improving their playoff seeding.
Yeah, for us, we still take it one week at a time. Even though we've clinched the AFC South, it still doesn't change our approach. When we line up and play, we're still trying to improve as a football team in all areas and try to play our best ball, you know, when playoff time hits. So we're trying to still improve, still do our best.
I think that, you know, a lot of times people wonder whether that's just coach speak or not. And I think it was DJ Bienname yesterday in the press conference said, "Coach, you claimed you don't know the playoff scenarios." And D'Amico, he said in a funny way.
Who asked that?
Was it DJ?
I think it was DJ. I didn't hear who you said.
I think it was DJ Bienname.
He's the voice of the voiceless. That's what I want to know, man. Well, you know my skepticism.
D'Amico insisted he really didn't. I don't really care whether D'Amico does or not. I think that when it comes to the message to the players, right now the team, there's no reason any of the players on the team right this moment need to be one bit concerned about playoff scenarios, because I think all of them are aware that they need to be a better football team than what they've been the sum total of the season, offensively especially. So there are enough challenges right in front of them, one being Patrick Mahomes himself, that I don't think you have to worry one bit about the playoff scenarios. Know that you're in. Know that you're going to have a home game. Fine. You can make plans for your family and everything, but the rest of it is, look, you got the Chiefs in front of you, and we're not going to talk about it, but then 5 days later you've got the Ravens. Okay, let's worry about right now.
And
I think it's an easy sell,
and that's the thing too, is, you know, to get to they can't get the number one seed. To get to the two seed, they need to win out. The Bills would need to lose two out of three to a bad rest of the schedule, and the Bills have something to play for. They're two games back of the Chiefs, who now, you know, who have had damaged Patrick Mahomes, but they got the head-to-head against the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. So if they can get into a tie with the Chiefs, they could get the bye in the first round, which is hugely, hugely valuable. So I don't think the Texans are getting to the two. To get to the three seed, the Texans would need to win two out of three and have one of those wins be over Baltimore.
Yeah.
And then the Ravens,
it would have to be over Baltimore.
It would have to be over Baltimore. And then the Ravens, one of the wins would have to be over Baltimore. And then the Ravens would need to beat the Steelers. So that according to the computers, there's a 22% chance of that happening.
Okay.
So there is a nearly 80% chance this is where they're going to be.
22% is my very realistic. That's always, if I'm playing Russian roulette with a revolver,
I'm like, ah, 22%, I'm a little
scared. It's better than, like, 1 in 6 is...
this might be it.
That's worse. That's a better chance than 1 in 6, you know, the 22%. So,
I do wonder, I'm very anxious to see how, if indeed the 4 seed is probably where they're going to be. And as they play more games, you know, as they play the Chiefs, we're going to have a clear idea. Not just play the Chiefs, but as next weekend plays out with everybody ahead of them, we're going to have a real clear picture going into Christmas Day, I think, as to where this Texans team stands. I am anxious to see, and I know you don't want them to, but I'm anxious to see if they manage this Ravens game in a certain kind of way.
Right.
If they were playing the Ravens the following Sunday, I wouldn't be saying this. But the fact that it's 4 days after playing the Chiefs, the fact that it's a short week like that in week 17. I'm not saying do it. I'm just anxious to see if there's certain guys, like, if they just, hey, look, Nico, you know, maybe sit this one out. You know, they kept Nico out a little longer than they might have needed to earlier this season when the games actually still meant something. You know, if that Ravens game means very little on Christmas Day, I'm not recommending doing it one way or the other, but I could see them picking a couple of, I mean, you can only make seven guys inactive, I think, or six guys or whatever it is. So they're not, it won't be a, there may be some inactive guys and then maybe a couple de facto inactive guys.
I think that it'll probably, I don't think they rest people, but they'll probably be pretty conservative. Not, you can't treat it like a playoff game where, hey, if we lose you for the year, it might not matter anyway, so we need you out there.
You're in.
It's we're going to have these games. Yeah. It's not one and done, so you got to be conservative there.
And D'Amico is an admitted injury recovery prioritizer.
Is there a scenario? Okay, so is there a scenario where it matters for the Ravens but not the Texans?
Yeah, they're battling for that division right now.
Yeah, so it totally matters. Yeah. It'll likely matter for the Ravens no matter what.
For sure,
Unless they,
It definitely will.
Yeah.
It definitely will.
So, boy, there's a part of that. One is, like, A, it's a football game. Let's show up and play. B, though, man, if you're resting people and the Ravens are playing for a game that matters, like, do you really want to go in and lay down and have that psychological burden on you potentially going into it, perhaps seeing them 2 weeks later?
That's tricky, man. Like, because it runs against every fiber of the swarm mentality to do that.
Yeah.
And yet, like, as I just said, D'Amico is a guy who has, whenever he's asked about injuries, he always talks about how conservative they are and how much they prioritize the health of their players.
You know how the Navy SEALs never leave a man behind.
Right.
Somebody they're gonna do whatever they can to bring that body back. If I think D'Amico would full bore. You could totally see D'Amico as a guy that might be a Navy SEAL, you know.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of us as football fans that are kind of like, he'd have understood, right? We gotta get the hell out of here. Can't be carrying this guy over a mountain. We got to go.
Yeah. See analytics.
That's how that feels.
Ten
a little bit.
Ten of us are going to die.
D'Amico's out there like, no, swarm mentality. We never leave a game behind.
Never leave a game behind.
The chopper's waiting, man.
Yeah.
Let's get the hell out of here.
I'm curious what the people want to do, especially if they've got tickets to go to that game on Christmas Day. Now, you do get to see a Beyonce concert. There's a lot of strange variables with all the decisions that go into this. And
not to mention the whole dynamic with everything circling around Beyonce's life right now.
Yeah, yeah.
None of it involving her.
No.
Right? That's good, yeah.
No.
There hasn't been a hint of that.
No, thank God. So everything's kind of set, though, in the AFC, man. Like, you get the three wild card teams. The worst of the three wild card teams are the Chargers. They're 8-6. The next closest teams are the Dolphins and the Colts are 6-8. So I think we've got, and the Bengals are 6-8 as well. The Bengals are interesting. If they're the Bengals are the ones, the Bengals are that team, like, if they sneak in, nobody wants to see them because they can hang 40 on you with Joe Burrow. You know, they'll just get into a track meet. They're kind of like the Rams in the NFC, where if they get in, it's like, oh, crap, we got to pay Matthew Stafford and Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, Kyron Williams. They can do some things. I'm kind of hoping the Texans catch either the Broncos or the Chargers in that wild card game, as opposed to either the AFC North teams.
And not that we're sleeping on any of these teams right now.
No, I think D'Amico will have something for Bo Nix and Justin Herbert.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, especially Bo Nix.
I had an idea for a movie scene as we were talking about Russian roulette.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how I could dupe somebody into playing Russian roulette with a Glock, like with something. It's not a revolver. I do that all because there's no, you know when the bullet's coming in
with the Glock.
Yeah, yeah. As
this
opposed
is what
to a
popped
revolver.
In your head just now while we're doing
no,
the show.
While we were talking about Russian roulette.
Okay.
But I just the trick is you got to be sure they go first because the gun it's gonna fire. So you got to say you got to do the old okay. We'll flip for it. Heads I win, tails you lose.
Okay.
And then
this is a movie scene you're dreaming.
This
of?
This is how I'm gonna get somebody to. This is how I'm gonna get to basically assassinate a dullard. Without me being arrested for it.
I was gonna say, is this a drama or a dark comedy?
Dark comedy.
Comedy. Yeah. Sounds like
heads I win, tails Gary you dark. Lose, and he's like, "Oh, damn, I gotta go. I gotta
Here
go
we
first.
Go.
And
then
there will be no click.
Does the crucifix right before? Like, no, that ain't gonna work. Unless you're just trying to get into heaven, that ain't.
Hey,
gonna
just
work.
In case, give me all your Bitcoin codes.
Yeah, exactly. There's a Houston Texan who I have become very fond of over the last 24 to 48 hours based solely on sound bites coming out of the locker room on Sunday after the game. And his name is Tim Settle. He's really good. We'll skip the highlight, Ben. Here is D'Amico Ryans talking about Tim Settle, the player, but then alluding at the end what a kind of a presence he is in the locker room.
Yeah, what I saw from Tim, first off, Tim's a young player. Even though he's been in the league for a while, he's still a young player who's ascending. I saw a bigger defensive lineman who has some explosive traits that are really liked on film, and just felt like getting him in our scheme would accentuate those traits even more. We would allow him to play in attack style of defense more and thought he would be really good at it. And Tim is, he's taken it. He's ran with it. He's been a really great addition to our defense. Great player to have. There's great energy. He keeps it light on the team. You need that. Tim knows how to have a good time, and he puts a smile on everyone. That's how everyone here is smiling, so I guess you guys know as well. But just love the energy that he brings to our entire team.
With Tim Settle, it's been fun to watch his progression. As we've seen with a lot of defensive tackles over the last couple of years, they start to really latch on to D'Amico's scheme. And Lovie Smith before him did some similar things with the defensive line. So you would see the similar progression of guys like Malik Collins. And, I mean, the biggest thing I noticed about him at camp was like, oh, he's wide. This is a big dude.
Yeah, he's a big dude, man.
But he's got some wiggle to him. His money don't jiggle, but his body wiggles. He's got kind of... You know,
I do. Yeah,
and that's what I told him. But he's very wide, mm-hmm. but he can move. It's like when you're staring at him, you got to use both your direct and your peripheral vision.
That's right.
To get him to the point where there was a trap play in the game where Tim Settle had a tackle for a loss. The tight end's supposed to come down and wham block him, and he stopped and stood in front of him like he was the meek version of the water boy.
Do you blame him?
No, kind of.
Well, I mean, it's his
like,
job.
Like, he just, like, thought, hit the guy. Try to block him. What are you doing? Right. What is with these tight ends these days? They just...
Fancy boys.
They want nothing to do with the physical part of the game, many of them.
Except Cade Stover.
Right.
And he got his appendix blown up because of it.
He attacked his own appendix.
Right.
He said, I'm tired. I got no time for useless appendages.
Have you heard Tim Settle, any of these cuts coming out of the locker room?
I haven't heard a single one of these.
Okay, good.
I knew from when they signed him, he had some good interviews in Buffalo.
Everybody in the building says he's really, really funny.
I didn't want to embrace the personality unless he delivered on the field. He'll talk some smack about upcoming opponents here and there, too.
He will. Yeah. He'll talk about it right here coming up in a second. First of all, he was asked, this is in the locker room, open locker room after the game on Sunday after we went over the Dolphins, about Kalen Bullock's hit. Hey, do you think that Kalen Bullock is going to get disciplined? You know, are you guys going to get a rep as a dirty team? That kind of thing. He answered that question.
Are you concerned about any sort of discipline on Bullock?
No. We don't have no intention of players. Nobody tries to hurt anybody. We're just playing ball. If anybody got a comment about that, yeah, y'all weird.
Yeah. You know who was? I guess Jacinto Anderson was in the locker room after the game.
Oh, was that her?
Rubble. I don't know if that was her, but there was a lot of rabble rousing by her, just like going around asking players if they're dirty and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. That might have been her then. Right
yeah.
There. Okay. Interesting. Tim Settle. This plays into what you were talking about. Bit of a
wait. I don't know if it was Jocina Anderson.
Check who was there?
It was
Martin from, is it Kimberly Martin from ESPN? I think she was in the...
She was there. I saw her, but I think somebody told me... anyway, we'll
whatever. Yeah. Here's Tim Settle talking about... he was asked about future opponents, Kansas City and Baltimore.
Kansas City and Baltimore know what I do. They know what I bring, and nothing's going to change. You know, I got a sack on Lamar. I'd have been in Pat's face. I don't care. I don't care who they got blocking. I don't care who's out. I don't care who's in. I got to deal with me. That's just what it is. If you don't respect me, I'm going to make you earn it. I'm going to make you respect me.
Okay, if you took that energy and put it in Will Anderson, you would have a fascinating character.
Oh, that's one thing I like about Tim Settle. I went and watched him yesterday. He had 5 or 6 pressures in the game. He also forced a couple of holding penalties.
Yeah,
which is good.
Right.
One of them was declined, but that's as good as a sack.
It is.
When you talk about getting pushed in the pocket... Yeah. It's crazy. He just doesn't... I've noticed this all year long, but he just has, like... He goes at a slow speed, but almost like a steamroller bull rushing people or forklifting them. It's like straight back, like on a direct line to the quarterback. And whether he makes a play on it or not, that helps the defensive end so much because quarterbacks can't step up in the pocket. So he had a really good, he had a very hydraulic press-like pass rush in that game where he just kept motoring through people.
Yep. Just to be clear, when I say you put that energy in Will Anderson, I'm not saying Will Anderson does not have energy. He's got major energy. I'm saying if you take that sort of like, hey, man, hey, KC in Baltimore, guess who's coming for you? I've been in Pat's face before, and I've sacked Lamar.
Oh, yeah.
The trash talk, Gene.
That was the part that I meant to bring up, was that he dislikes offensive linemen. I can tell.
You respect that.
He just doesn't like them. Oh, he knows what they are. They're lazy frauds. if you're a real man, you'd be on this side of the ball.
Seth found a kindred spirit.
No, because it's not just. I made a tweet yesterday, and people thought I was talking about the Texans specifically. Anytime I watch film, and I see offensive tackles or offensive linemen or tight ends just standing around while the play's still going on, when they're like, you could be looking for work, it disgusts me.
Yeah.
It makes me so sick. Like, what is wrong with you? What? Why are you turning down action? Like, why are you not, like, seeking out somebody to try to kill?
They've got a good seat to the action on the field. They want to watch. Lazy. Why would you distract yourself with work when you've got really good seats to a game?
Not all offensive linemen, but enough. The offensive linemen and tight ends, they just stand, or they block one guy and they stand there and look at their work instead of going
Job's
out to
done.
Find somebody else.
They block one guy and then want to talk to their union rep before they block a second guy.
I counted at least seven shots.
Do I get time and a half for blocking this second guy?
I counted at least seven shots that Tim Settle took on offensive linemen as Tim Settle was on his way to the ball.
You love
like
that.
Just if he ran past an offensive lineman that was just standing there, boom, forearm shiver on his way to
pursuit. Yeah. It's approved violence, man. All right, headlines coming up next. D'Amico Ryans was asked, do you think Patrick Mahomes is going to play? We'll see what his answer was. Monday Night Football last night, if you were brave enough to stay up and watch that, we'll get to the final scores on that for you as well. It's coming up next in headlines. Stay there.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, headlines. Let's get to the Texans. And D'Amico Ryans, he met with the media yesterday. We should point out, they practice today. Usually Tuesday is a day off. Everything's pushed up a day. So they practice today, tomorrow, Thursday. So we'll probably get an injury report today. I don't know who the big names to be looking out for on the injury report would be coming off of that game. They came out of the Dolphins game pretty healthy, although Dalton Schultz and Joe Mixon both were down for extended periods of time with injuries.
Mixon got hip dropped
and Dalton Schultz went down. I was really nervous about Dalton because he was specifically holding his shoulder, which I'm like, oh, torn pec or oh, broken clavicle or whatever. And he was back in like
catches in the down the stretch there that mattered. Didn't have a huge production in the game, but
no, nobody did.
Oh, it's real quick because I know a lot of people ask this question. They'll say, well, has anybody even getting flagged for that this year? The hip drop tackle, the way the NFL seems to be handling it is they'll fine people for it. But it's one of those things, it's too hard. There's three elements that have to be in place for it to be a hip drop tackle. And I think they're trying to treat it like, all right, we've minimized it. We're going to fine people when they do it. But to try to call it out in the moment, it's just adding more controversy. That seems to be the tack they're taking.
Well, I haven't seen it called, so that's got to be
There have been fines for it.
Sure.
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and it wasn't. The whole thing was there really weren't that many instances of it last year either. Yeah. So it wasn't going to change the game of football the way we knew it.
No, but Joe Mixon's got hit with two of them this year so far. Yeah, so
I think it's a testament to him.
Here. Yeah.
Defenders are like, I'm going to have to go ahead and pull the hip drop out of here.
On this Mixon guy, yeah. So we'll keep an eye. I say all that to say there will be an injury report presumably today because they are practicing. Their off day will be Friday. That's when they'll travel to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. D'Amico Ryans was asked yesterday, Patrick Mahomes, who suffered an ankle sprain of his own in the Chiefs win over the Browns over the weekend, do you think Mahomes will play in the game on Saturday?
Yeah, I have no idea on if he's playing or not, so I really can't focus on it or be concerned about it. You know, we're preparing for the Chiefs, and you know, a lot of the light shines on Patrick a lot, but you know, if you watch the Chiefs play, their defense is an outstanding unit. They do a really good job defensively. Coach Spagnuolo's done a great job. Coach Reed in the offense, they're going to find a way. No matter who's there, they find a way to move the football, right? And so we just have to be on it in all areas of the game, whether Patrick is there or not.
Yeah, yeah. The Chiefs with a healthy Mahomes have not been a good offensive team this year,
right?
By their standards,
right?
At least.
Right. Yeah. And, now they'll, and you got to think, okay, would the Chiefs have won this many games by a one score margin if Carson Wentz was their quarterback?
Of course not.
Probably not. Right. Yeah. So it's a big deal if Pat Mahomes doesn't play, and the Chiefs could theoretically say, all right, we need to rest him here. They have the same challenge the Texans do in playing on Christmas Day.
Yep.
I've just seen this so many times every single year. Mahomes has a little bit of the Roethlisberger in him. You know, I think it's a flair for the dramatic. Like that, oh, this ankle injury is the worst thing that anybody's ever played through. But you remember Roethlisberger would get up and talk about how that clavicle injury, I almost died.
Yeah.
So, but then I've seen him play through it consistently over and over and over again. So I'm not, right now, I'm not thinking one bit that Pat Mahomes isn't going to play, and I'm not thinking that if he does play, that his injury is going to somehow make him a less scary quarterback.
No, well, I think for sure we're not going to find anything out this week. He'll be limited on their injury report.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Andy Reid can play a little bit of gamesmanship here, make him prepare for both. You know, as backups go, Carson Wentz is a decent backup. I mean, he's had success in the league before. Were you surprised the line moved as much as it did? I don't know if you saw.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs were originally a 4-point favorite mm-hmm. in this game. And as soon as Mahomes got injured, a lot of outlets are baking that into the spread. Now, there's a lot of outlets that are assuming Mahomes is not going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Texans are a 3-point favorite at a lot of those outlets.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense if they assume he's not going to play, or if there's a really, really good chance that he's not going to play, that, yeah, Mahomes is worth a touchdown compared to Carson Wentz.
I agree with him being worth a touchdown, but specific to this matchup, I just don't trust the Texans' offense uh-huh. to get anything going in this game.
Right. Oh, to actually scratch to be able to cover the spread even. Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe
Well, the Chiefs aren't as good a defense this year either. That's the other part of it, too. They're not... The Chiefs' defense is not the same defense it was last year.
I get it, but so, they've struggled against everybody. The
right,
Texans.
Right. But the Texans but the Chiefs have put very few teams away emphatically. Yeah. They've played everybody to a close margin. So there's two parts to this equation. Yes, everything you say is true about the Texans, but the Chiefs have been a one score victory team with Pat Mahomes.
Right.
So I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
it's a big difference.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. I would take the points if I were betting this game. I would take Chiefs +3 in this game, even with Carson Wentz at quarterback. Because I'm guessing there's probably a lot of guys on the Chiefs to be like, we're underdogs, and I don't care who's playing quarterback. We're underdogs in our place.
Yeah.
That's a hard place to go play, man.
It's a hard place to go play.
And it's outdoors and cold.
But you're looking at, remember too, yes, you don't trust the Texans offense to get going. Do you trust that this defense could take the ball away from Carson Wentz, I don't know, 7 or 8 times? As opportunistic as
I think there will be takeaways. I'm nervous about them being a favorite in this game as well. In that environment.
They've been disappointing from a gambling standpoint.
Very.
Yeah.
Very.
Even after swearing it off multiple times this season, I took the... Like an idiot, I took the over last week.
Yeah.
That Texans game.
You could tell in the first quarter that thing was playing under.
I've said multiple times, like, well, especially, well, this team, if they haven't scored in the first half. All right.
Stop it. They've scored 3 touchdowns in the second half over the last 2 games.
Yeah.
They're a juggernaut.
Versus one of the worst defenses in the league. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
They scored
about?
1 touchdown in the second half.
They've got
at
it
home
solved, Seth. Yeah. I don't know if you've heard. The offense was really good on Sunday, I've been told.
That not even D'Amico. We'll have a clip of D'Amico giving grudging praise of the offense.
Grudging praise. Some of the people I'm hearing talking about the offense in the building, like in the locker room after the game, and then even D'Amico, I'm like, was I watching the same game? You needed a fake punt just to get to 180 yards of offense.
Yeah, no. There was very little. The only really good thing about the offense in that game is CJ's ability to connect with Nico on scramble drills.
Yes.
Or on extended plays.
In the red zone.
Yeah, in the red zone.
And score touchdowns. You know, they took advantage of short fields. That's good. Good teams do that. Good teams also get more than 188 yards of offense.
The other thing I'm worried about just is that, okay, John Metchie has been more. You know, he's going to play a critical role at some point. And in the last few weeks, we've seen that interception in the Titans game.
Yep.
Mechie wasn't on the same page as CJ. And then had a shot for a deep strike downfield, and Mechie dropped the ball. I mean, he doesn't have solid hands.
No.
He doesn't have consistent hands.
And he's in the mix right now. Like, he's got to play. Like, they're not super deep at receiver right now. Monday Night Football last night, we'll just give you the scores because I'll be honest with you. I went to bed at halftime of both these games. Atlanta 15-9 over the Las Vegas Raiders, and then the Minnesota Vikings, who are 12-2 on the season right now, 30-12 over the Chicago Bears. So the Vikings are tied with the Lions at 12-2, and the Lions are super banged up. The list of guys
Montgomery out.
Yeah. And then on defense, they're missing like 10 guys on defense. It's crazy. And they play each other in Week 18, the Vikings and the Lions. So the Vikings might wind up with the number one overall seed in the NFC. So we'll see what happens with that. All right, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. We'll get Ross's thoughts on the Texans' defense, their performance, clinching the AFC South, and other things around the NFL. He's our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, and he joins us next.